Welcome to this podcast of sermons at CUNA United Methodist Church.
A reading from the letter of James, the fifth chapter, translated from the original Greek into English, the New International Version. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. May we receive a blessing in the reading and hearing of these words.
So we are in a worship series on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is a holy journey to a sacred site where the journey is the point. And the Camino de Santiago is a trail across northern Spain. It goes from southern France over to the northwest corner of Spain. And it has been used as a pilgrimage trail for over 1,000 years. And in northwest Spain, at Santiago de Compostela, is the burial place of St. James the Apostle, tradition tells us. And so pilgrims have been journeying on that trail for over 1,000 years. This worship series is inspired by the Camino de Santiago and the letter of James. Might be the same James, might be a different James. It's okay. It's still good. And that physical pilgrimage informs our spiritual journey. And so we've looked at how in pilgrimage and in the spiritual life, the journey is the point. We've looked at how we all travel the same road differently, that our way is made by others. And today, the wisdom that pilgrimage shares with us is to stay on the trail and keep going. It was true on the Camino, and it's true on the spiritual life. When you see photos and you hear stories about walking the Camino, it can be easy to miss the exhaustion, because exhaustion was real and regular. There was a lot of times when I was just tired. Overnight, my Achilles tendon would tighten up, and in the morning I'd kind of be hobbling around, and it took a good half mile for it to loosen up so I could walk like a normal person. And I would get up wondering, I wonder if I can do this. And I did. I made it through another day. My feet got tired. You forget how hard your feet work just walking long distances carrying a pack. My pack was really well designed, and it felt like it was just glued to my back, so my shoulders were okay, but my hips got tired. And I wasn't the only one. Exhaustion was real. I walked that last 73 miles with Ginny and another friend, and by the end of the day, we just collapsed. By the end of the day, we weren't visiting anymore. We were just looking at where we were going, and we would arrive and we would just drop and just lay there for it was more than an hour. And there might have been some napping. There was some fooling around on the phone, just waiting to have the energy to be able to stand up and go get some food. Exhaustion was real. Pilgrimage is long, and it is hard. In medieval times, it was the sacrifice of the pilgrimage that really spoke to the spirituality of the people who did it. That was where their meaning. They felt they were sacrificing for God. They were showing their faith in the exertion of going to Santiago. Pilgrimage is long and hard. It was that way on the Camino, and it's like that in the spiritual life. And James, as we heard, tells us to stand firm, that there is blessing in the difficulty. And in the spiritual life, we need to be patient and persistent. We heard this morning the New International Version. That version was created a team of about 100 scholars, looked at the original Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek texts, and translated, did a full translation to modern English. It was first published in 1978. It was revised in 2011. And translation is all about meaning. And if you know another language, you know there is no such thing as a perfect translation because language changes and shifts. And so we have to go back and look at what is the meaning. Well, recently I came across the Gen Z Bible. Here is a screenshot of it from its website. And it is an AI-generated version in Gen Z slang. Now, Gen Z is the generation of folks born from 97 through 2012, so they are 13 to 28. And all generations are a spread, but I think when they're younger, you feel it more. We've got people barely out of preteen, all the way to folks doing some pretty solid adulting. So that's a really big spread. And AI is a good start. I once heard a great description of AI. It said it's like a college intern. It knows something, but it doesn't know everything. And since this is an AI-generated version, I invited a Gen Z person in my household to look it over and do some editing to bring it up to high school subgeneration slang. So I want to share with you that same reading we heard this morning in Gen Z slang. Yo, chat. Chill and be patient till the Lord comes through. Check it out, like a farmer waiting for that prime harvest. He's got mad, dubious patience for it, even waiting for the early and the late rain to come in. Just chill, okay? Lock in and stay strong because the Lord's arrival is almost here. Don't hold grudges against each other, my brother, because that'll only bring trouble. Just remember, the judge is right around the corner, ready to make the final verdict. Yo, fam, hear me out. Don't be tweaking and swearing promises, whether on heaven or earth or anything else. Keep it simple. Just say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. Trust. You don't want to end up in a bad situation, so keep it real. Feeling down? Just hit up God with a prayer. Having a blast? Bust out the tunes and rock it with some banger psalms. So translation is all about meaning, and slang has meaning, different words with the same meaning. And sometimes the meaning can be stronger when it is in that language that we call slang. And so the Gen Z translation is fun. I want to tell you why I think it's faithful. Most of us have only heard the Bible in the English translations, you know, like the NIV. And that English is a little formal, maybe. Sometimes it doesn't exactly line up with the way we talk when we just run into people on the street and visit. Well, centuries ago, when scholars were first going back to the original Greek and translating, it was a different form of Greek. It wasn't classical Greek, like the philosophers like Plato and Socrates, and it wasn't like Virgil, and it wasn't like modern Greek. In fact, for a while they called it Holy Spirit language. And then scholars discovered that the language of all those letters and the Gospels in the New Testament were written in common, everyday language that you use on the street with your friends. And so for people who are Gen Z, their common, everyday language is slang. And so this translation I find faithful in the way that it communicates that meaning in language that is meaningful for that generation. So let's look at what that meaning is. What is James trying to tell us? He says we need to be patient, we need to stand firm, that testing is going to happen. Now, for early Christians, when they were talking about testing, it's something different than for us. For them, testing meant persecution, surprise raids, getting thrown in a van, deportation or execution. Unlike ICE raids today, where they are using the color of a person's skin and their accent, the way that they found out you were Christian then is they watched who went to church. Going to church was risky, because if you were spotted, now they knew you were a Christian. And if they found the membership book with your name in it, it was risky, because now they knew you were a Christian. They had a different kind of persecution than anything we have dealt with. And James says to them, those who stand firm during the testing are blessed. Those who stand firm during the testing are blessed. So what helps you keep going, keep walking, when the road feels long or God feels silent? On the Camino, when I was exhausted, and at the end of the day, when my feet were tired and my hips were tired and my legs were dragging, pilgrimage taught me, stay on the trail. You'll get there faster. Just keep going. We had a trail left by others to follow. And as long as we kept following those markers on the trail, we knew we were going in the right direction. And sometimes that's all I knew. You know, when you're just so tired, you just don't know anything. You're just walking where you think you're supposed to go. Those markers all have kilometer distances on them of how far it was to Santiago. And you'd see it going down, and I'd see the next marker, and I'd realize we've only gone half a kilometer. I thought that was three. Stay on the trail and keep going. Sometimes the spiritual life is no more complicated than just showing up. Just arriving on the trail and keep walking. Sometimes in the spiritual life, it's exciting and there's fireworks and we are coming out of our best selves and we just feel like we have got faith and everything is aligned in us. But there are other times when the only thing we've got is showing up. When we are not coming out of our best selves, when we are tired, when we don't know what's going on, we're not even sure where God is or what is real. And then pilgrimage teaches us, just show up. Just show up. Keep walking. Stay on the trail. Now, I was blessed to do the Camino with two others, and we didn't always walk right together. Our paces were different, and over the day, we'd spread out, but we always came together at the end. So even when I was alone, I knew there were others watching out for me. Some people walk the whole Camino by themselves, and they enjoy those moments of solitude, and moments of camaraderie come up. I recently talked to a fellow who walked the whole Camino Francais, which is 500 miles, on his own, and he said his favorite parts were the evening communal meals at the albergues. And so it is with the spiritual life. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we have a strong sense of belonging and community. But the truth is, we are never alone. God is always there. God is always walking with us. And you know what? God never gets tired. God never gets tired. God never gets exhausted. In the spiritual life, we keep holy company with God, who is always with us, whether we notice or not. And we keep holy company with others. Family and friends and church family, people who we can be our authentic selves with, who we can let others accept all of the beauty and flaws that are each of us, giving us practice of accepting the beauty and flaws of others. Sometimes staying on the trail and keep going is less about personal dedication or, you know, spiritual willpower. It's just practical. We didn't get to lay down till we got there. So you kept going because it's better to lay on a bed than sit on the ground. So it's just practical. Sometimes in the spiritual life, we're not motivated by high, holy, spiritual motivations. We just need God because things have fallen apart. And it's just not working. And we just need God to clean up the mess we've made or to help us figure it out or come along beside us while God goes, "It's okay, honey." Sometimes we just need that with God. Those Jesus take the wheel moments. And Jesus always does. And things get wilder and more wonderful than we ever expected. So we walked the Camino for 6 days. The whole Camino Francais, the 500 miles, people will do the whole thing at once, and it'll take about 5 or 6 weeks to do it. It's common for working people to do a week at a time and kind of do it in chunks. And when we got to the end, I realized there was some stuff that hadn't happened because we did only walk a week. And if we had kept going, if I had four or five more weeks ahead of me, there would have been some changes made. And one of those is my pack was too heavy. I had stuff in my pack that I never used. But instead of going through it, I just picked it up and carried it another day. If I'd walked farther, I would have gone through my pack and cleaned out those things that I did not need. And isn't that how it is with the spiritual life? Sometimes we have burdens that we have put on ourselves, and we don't stop and examine them. We just carry them and carry them. And then someday, sooner or later, we look at them all, and some of them we decide to just set down and leave. Get rid of the stuff that we just don't need to be carrying. So we started this series with the journey is the point. And it is. And the destination matters too. James said we must be patient and wait for the coming of the Lord. The faith life right near matters, right now matters. And the coming of the Lord matters too. Our last day started like any other. We're in a little town. We grabbed a quick breakfast, threw on packs, walked, and within minutes we are out of town in the countryside. But by midday, it was looking different. It looked more like suburbs. And after a while, we're walking on city streets. And then we leave like the newer part of the city and enter the old city. And for the first time, I spotted the cathedral. See the yellow arrow? So way off in the distance is the cathedral. Now, I knew the journey was the point, but seeing that cathedral grabbed my heart that we had been walking towards all this time. Does that ever happen to you when you see something and it just grabs your heart? Maybe for you it's the copper spire on this church if you've been away for a while and you see it and it just grabs your heart. Well, as we went through the old city, there weren't very many markers and they weren't easy to find anymore, but we could see the cathedral. The route we were taking enters kind of from the back of the church. And you enter the big monastery, and then you have these stairs that go down. I'm told that there is always somebody there playing bagpipes for pilgrims entering. Northwest Spain has Celtic roots, and so they have bagpipes. And as we entered, we're going down the stairs, and sure enough, there was a person there playing bagpipes as ourselves and other pilgrims are walking down the stairs into that big plaza in front of the cathedral. And as I walked down, Ginny grabbed a photo. She said, "You have to see your face." I said, "Okay, it's your turn." And I took a picture of her. The plaza was full of people, but it's huge, so it didn't feel tight. And we found a spot where we could sit and look up at the cathedral and sit. And I think we sat a good hour just resting and watching people arriving and watching how different people are experiencing coming in. And then finally, we stood up and another pilgrim took a picture for us of us standing there with the cathedral in the background. It felt monumentous, crossing a line. It was a finish line, and it was a starting line to something else. It actually felt similar to me to when I was baptized. I was baptized at 27. And I went through a 9-month baptismal preparation class. And so baptism was the finishing of the preparation. And it was the starting line of this official Christian life. Arriving in Santiago was the finish line of that Camino. And the starting line of living a life as a Christian pilgrim every day. And so we stay on the trail and we keep walking. We walk with God, God always right there at our side, keeping holy company with others, following a trail left by others, each walking the same trail differently, persisting through hard days, enjoying the easy parts, carrying our own stuff, maybe working on unloading some. We stay on the trail and we keep walking. James says the coming of the Lord is near. And so whether that is today or tomorrow or next week or centuries from now, the journey is the point and the destination matters too. And may we be filled with the joy of the pilgrim walking into the plaza at the cathedral at the end of one journey and the beginning of another. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, you have given us a trail. You have given us the joy of a life that does not end, that is full of finish lines and starting lines, that we are always with you. Thank you for the challenge and the adventure of the spiritual life that you have given us. Lord, we ask that you show yourself. Jesus, that as we follow this trail, we keep our eyes on you so that we are following you and that others will look at us and see a Christian pilgrim, will see a disciple. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is preached almost always by our pastor, Reverend Mia Crosswaite. CUNA United Methodist Church is a community on a mission to make disciples for the transformation of the world. To support this podcast and the missional priorities of this church, go to cunaumc.org and click on Give. Any amount helps. And if you're kind enough to share your contact information with us, we'll continually send you things.